Blog Talk Radio. And we are live for Fan for Racing NASCAR Weekend Preview. This is Thursday night, June the 29th, and we have three races that we'll be previewing for you tonight. That may mean an early night for us, just as a heads up for all of our listeners. We'll be previewing the Can-Am Pro Series East out at Berlin Raceway in Michigan. To start out with, we'll give you some updates on the Camping World Truck Series and the K&N West, as well as the ARCA Racing Series. And then we'll get into the Xfinity and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series racing at Daytona International Speedway this weekend. So joining me now to help me with the preview for this week is our co-host, Jay M.J. Houston. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Thank you, Sharon. Always a pleasure to be on with you.
I'm really looking forward to it tonight. I did mention that we may be closing out the show a little bit early. We only have three races to preview tonight. So there's still a lot to talk about during this these next 60 minutes or maybe a little bit more than that. But let's go ahead and get started with the K&N Pro Series East out at Berlin Raceway in Michigan this weekend. This is going to be their inaugural trip to Berlin Raceway in Marnie, Michigan for the Stars and Stripes 150 that will be taking place on Saturday, July the 1st, and fans will be able to follow along on NASCAR Home Tracks Race Central starting at 9 p.m. Central time. So definitely mark your calendars for that. The NBCSN is airing this race on Friday, July the 7th, and that will be at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time, which is a little bit earlier than usual. So you probably want to definitely set your DVRs for this race. Looking forward to this one. As I mentioned, this is the inaugural race for the K&N Pro Series at Berlin Raceway this weekend. But Harrison Burton seems to be the guy to beat.
Yeah, on the east side, he's kind of like Todd Gilliland is on the west side. He's leading the K&N Pro Series mm-hmm. standings after winning three of the last four races, including his most the most recent stop for these guys that was at Memphis International Raceway. And he's the only driver to finish in the top five in all six races this season and has a 28-point lead over Todd Gilliland heading into Berlin.
Yeah, and he's the only driver so far to finish in the top five in all six events so far. So he's really, really been impressive. He's going to be at another short track. It's a 0.43-mile oval that has very short straightaways and long corners. So it is going to be interesting to see how well he does out at Berlin Raceway this weekend. Besides Harrison Burton, are there any other drivers you think we should be watching out for at Berlin, or keeping our eye on, I should say?
Well, there's always a list of them in this series. Hunter Bayes is in the number 13 Overstock Mercantile Chevrolet. He's climbed up to third in the current point standings with one top five and five top ten finishes in the six races to date, and is only one of three drivers to post at least five top ten finishes so far this season.
Okay, and he finished fourth at Bristol earlier this season. That was his best career finish and his first top five since Iowa Speedway last season. So, yeah, he's definitely one of the drivers to keep your eye on. I think another driver is always, you can't take your eyes off Todd Gilliland, okay? He's the reigning Can-Am Pro Series West champion. He scored 6 wins, 11 top fives, and 13 top tens last season. He became the youngest champion in NASCAR Touring Series history at just 16 years, 5 months. But what's really cool about him is that he comes from a three-generation family. Butch Gilliland, his grandfather, was also a big K&N West champion back in 1997. He's also one of only 2 drivers to finish in the top 10 in all 6 races. And he sits second in the current point standings. As we mentioned earlier, he's 28 points behind Harrison Burton. And he right now has 3 top fives and 6 top tens through 6 races this season. So don't take your eyes off of Todd Gilliland, for sure.
And what he's doing between the 2 series, the East and the West, has just been phenomenal.
Anybody else you think we should keep our eye on?
Well, having spent 11 plus years of my 20-year career here now in Mississippi.
I'm not sure what happened, but we're not hearing Jay Huseman right now. It may be your mute button, Jay. Are you there? Okay, for whatever reason, we're not hearing Jay Huseman right now. So I'm going to go on, and I mentioned another driver while we're waiting for him to come back here. Chase Purdy is going to be in the number 17 this weekend. He's right now 5th in the current point standings with 1 top 5 and 2 top 10s through 6 races. His best finish this season was 2nd in the first of the 100 twin laps, or the twin 100 lap races at South Boston Speedway, where he earned his first pole was at Memphis, and he's posted 3 consecutive qualifying efforts on the front row heading into Berlin. So he may be a good pole qualifier again here at Berlin, and we'll have to see how he's doing after that qualifying effort. Right now, he's the highest ranking rookie in the K&N East after 6 races, but he's had some impressive showings in the K&N East, and I think he could be another driver to keep your eye on this weekend. I'm going to bring Jay back into the queue here. Jay, are you there?
Yep, I'm here. Not real sure what happened.
Hello,
there,
Jay?
But I am back.
For some reason, I'm not hearing Jay. I'm not sure what's going on. Jay, are you there? I brought you into the queue.
Yes, sure. Yeah, Sharon, I'm here.
Okay. I guess we're going to try it one more time here and see if we can get Jay into the queue here. I have him into the queue, but for whatever reason, we're not hearing him. Jay?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm on the line.
Okay. I'm not sure why we're not hearing Jay Huseman. I'll go on and give another driver that I think could be a driver to watch this weekend. And I'm going to go with Travis Miller in the number 40 MDM Motorsports. MDM Motorsports has been really, really big this season in the K&N East. Harrison Burton is from that team. Travis Miller is also from that team. And I think that makes him one of the drivers to keep your eye on this weekend. He earned his first career series win at South Boston. He's had 3 top 10 finishes and 3 starts this season, so he's running a partial schedule, but he's finished no worse than 6th in any of his starts. He finished 3rd at Memphis for his 2nd top 5 finish in 12 career starts. So he did really he's won already this season on a part, I'm hoping that he'll have another good run this weekend. And we're going to try MJ Huseman here again. Jay, are you there?
Yeah, Sharon, I'm here.
Okay, apparently he can hear me, but for some reason I don't think we're hearing him. Jay, are you there?
Yeah, Sharon, I'm here.
Okay, I am t- totally at a loss for what's going on because I brought him into the queue. I should be able to hear him. Okay, I just don't know what's going on here. For some reason, we cannot hear MJ Huseman as we're doing our preview here. But definitely, okay, I'm back on air here. I'm not sure what the problem is, but we're going to try this once again. And excuse me while I'm multitasking here, trying to get Jay back into the show as well. I'm hoping people can hear me, and we're going to try Jay again here. Jay, can you hear me?
Yep, I'm here, Sharon.
Okay, finally, we got this worked out. I actually had to hang up and call in as well. For some reason, I was totally kicked out of the show. So I hope our listeners are still with us. We are back on air and ready to move on with our show here. I gave a couple of drivers to kind of keep your eye on in the K&N West East here, including Harrison Burton, Travis Miller, and Chase Purdy. Are there any other drivers you think we should keep our eye on?
Ruben Garcia in the number 6 Max Siegel Incorporated Toyota for Rev Racing. He just finished a career best 6th, 2nd at Bristol and is currently 4th in the overall point standings with 6 top 5s. Finishes in three of the last 4 races and has 2 top 5s, 4 top 10s in the 6 races so far this season. And he was the 2015 NASCAR Peak Mexico Series champion with 4 wins, 15 top 5s, and 41 top 10s and 61 career starts in that series. I think he's one that's ready to run up front and get a first victory here, and it could come at Berlin.
Okay, I think that is a good pick. Definitely somebody to keep your eye on this weekend. Ronnie Bassett Jr. Is another driver to keep an eye on this weekend. He earned his first career win in the season opener at New Smyrna back in February. He's 6th in the point standings. He's got the 1 win at New Smyrna, 3 top 5s, and 3 top 10s through 5 races. He finished 4th at Memphis International Speedway for his first top 5 since the 2nd race of the season at Greenville Pickens Speedway. But this is a short track, and I think this is going to suit his style. He'll be in the number 04 this weekend at Berlin Raceway.
That certainly could play to his favor.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, we mentioned the point spread between Harrison Burton and Todd Gilliland. But when you get to, like, the third position where Hunter Bayes is, Ruben Garcia and Chase Purdy, those guys all have 4 points between them. In fact, Ruben Garcia Jr. and Chase Purdy are tied and just 2 points at 212 points. Just 2 points behind them is Ronnie Bassett Jr. at 210. And 1 point behind him is Chase Cabre at 209 points. So from that 7th place up to the 3rd place, there's only 7 points separating those drivers. So it's a pretty tight battle in there.
That's right. And once we see a couple of those guys get their nose in there, and maybe Harrison will let them win once in a while, you know, they close that gap up to the 2 top leaders.
Well, I tell you what, it's just not in a racer's mentality to let somebody else win a race. They're all going to go after it, I'm pretty sure. It is going to be fun to watch. And again, make sure you set your calendars. Who's your pick to win this race?
The last couple that I've watched, to include the one I went to at Memphis, I think Chase Purdy is ready to take that away from Harrison Burton. He had a strong car at Memphis, had a couple of problems, but he had a strong car. He's improving. He improved on his restarts from the incident at South Boston. So I think he's ready to take one away from Harrison Burton.
Well, you could definitely be right there. He's certainly a driver that I think you should keep your eye on. It's hard for me to pick a race winner for this particular race. Harrison Burton, I'm going to stick with the guy who's been winning most this season, and that's Harrison. I'm going to pick him to win this weekend at Berlin Raceway in Marne, Michigan. And I just want to remind everybody that this race will be broadcast on NBCSN on Friday, July the 7th, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can follow along on Saturday, July 1st, starting at 9 p.m. That's 10 p.m. Eastern over at NASCAR Home Tracks website and their Race Central that's powered by Speed 51. Definitely a race to keep your eye on. We love that short track racing where drivers are racing door to door. So definitely keep your eye there. Now, I just want to mention, too, that the K&N Pro Series West, their next race is actually going to be that combo race that's going to be at Iowa Speedway at the end of July. That's July the 28th, the Casey's General Store 150. And you'll see both the East meeting the West at that race. So both series will be at that race. But before then, the K&N East has another race that they'll be involved in before they get to that combo race. And that is going to be at Thompson Speedway Motorsports Park in Connecticut. And that's going to be July the 8th. So definitely they've got a back-to-back race here in the East. And in fact, they'll also be racing in New Hampshire before they get to Iowa Speedway. So the West is on a little bit of a break here, but the East is going to be racing for 3 weeks in a row here before they get to Iowa Speedway for that combo.
Got to tell you, Sharon, I'm really excited about that combo event when the East meets West.
Absolutely. It's one of my favorite races of the year. And I really look forward to this race every year. They used to do it twice a year, which was really kind of cool. It's kind of nice that they're doing it at the end of July. And it's always for bragging rights over which series ends up with that victory. But the cool thing about it, too, is that there's going to be a K&N East winner. There's going to be a K&N West winner. Because if the one series wins the race, then it's the highest finishing driver in the other series that will win for their series points. So it's going to be fun to see that race coming up at the end of July. Definitely mark your calendars for that race. Now, we haven't said too much about the racing series because they're off this week. Their next race is July the 8th, and they're going to be racing at guess where?
Iowa Speedway.
Iowa Speedway. absolutely. So Iowa's been pretty busy here. They're going to be racing the Fans with Benefits 150, July the 8th at 8 p.m. Central Daylight Time. So that's going to be 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And again, ArcaRacing.com will have the live timing and scoring for this one over on their website, ArcaRacing.com. And as far as the TV schedule for that race, it will be on MAV TV once again. So if you've got MAV TV, you're in the know and you can watch that race live. Otherwise, follow along over at ArcaRacing.com. But a lot going on in this ARCA Racing series this season as well.
Yeah, we had Austin Terrio just pick up his third win and stretch his point lead a little bit more. This 22-15 now to 20-40 over Dalton Sargent, and then Riley Herbst in third at 18-80. And those are the top three in points that it have. As I mentioned, Austin Terrio has three wins. Dalton Sargent and Riley Herbst each have one of the regulars that are running for the championship this year. So I think it still could be quite a battle, but Terrio's starting to really put it together.
He really is, and it's pretty cool to see him doing so well. A lot of talk about him getting back into NASCAR with the kind of success he's been having in the ARCA Racing Series. So that'll be fun to see how that transpires as well. But there's some news that's taking place in the ARCA Racing Series, too. Over at the website today at 1:45 p.m., congratulations went out to Tom and Megan Hessert on the recent birth of their newest baby boy. Henry William Hessert came into this world on Tuesday, June the 26th at 8:52 a.m. So Tom Hessert is a daddy, and he's expected to be back into the ARCA Racing Series for the race at Illinois State Fairgrounds in August, at DuQuoin State Fairgrounds in September, and at Salem Speedway also in September. And he'll be racing the number 25 with Venturini Motorsports in those events. But congratulations to the Hesserts on the birth of their son. Anything you want to add to that?
Congratulations. It's be another possible third, fourth generation driver there.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. Some other news that came out today. Brett Holmes Racing, their crew chief, Brian Berry, they have parted ways. So he will not be atop, Brian Berry will not be on top of the pit box for Brett Holmes at the race in July 8th. But you can look for an announcement about who that crew chief might be sometime before they race their next event. So that was kind of interesting news coming out today as well.
Kind of surprised to see that. He said Brett Holmes is sitting fifth in points with five top tens and two top fives in the nine starts. So he's not having a bad season, but, I mean, obviously the goal is winning, and so far only the top three of the regulars have won. So I guess they decided they needed to make a change.
Yeah, so again, your fans will want to keep their eyes on any news coming out of Brett Holmes Racing in these next few days. So, and as far as the Camping World Truck Series, we don't have a lot of time to talk about it, but I do want to get into the Camping World Truck Series. They are not racing this weekend. They have a break. Their next race is going to be for the Buckle Up Your Truck 225 at Kentucky Speedway. That's going to be a big race weekend. And actually, they're going to be racing on Thursday, July 6th, starting at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That race is going to coincide with our preview show. So we've decided, Jay and I, that we're going to do the preview show at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday, the day before. So that would be July the 5th. So you'll want to mark your calendars for that. We're going to do the preview show a day earlier next week. And with that programming note, I'm also going to say that we are not doing the review show on Monday night. So do not look for our review show on Monday night with Sal Segala. He's taking some vacation time, and I'm going to be out celebrating for the 4th of July as well. We've decided that we are going to just cancel the show for Monday night. We'll do the one show next week, which will be on Wednesday, July the 5th. starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So we'll look forward to doing that. We might have to make that one a two-hour show, Jay.
Okay, that's fine with me.
Okay. You know, it's pretty cool to see John Hunter Nemechek, though, go back-to-back last weekend.
That's unbelievable. The fact that they were kind of short on finances and whatnot, and John Hunter told his dad, Joe Nemechek, get me a truck, get me to Gateway, get me to Iowa, and then to go out and win both of those races, that's just unbelievable. In the Casey's General 200 there at Iowa, he passed Johnny Sauter with six laps remaining following a late race caution to win that second race. And that's the fifth of his career and his first one there at Iowa. But he's always felt like he's run good at that track. So he definitely had the confidence. And like I said, he told his dad, you get me to these races and I'll show you what I can do. And he most definitely did.
He certainly did. Another thing that I was impressed with was Noah Gregson, who took another pole award for Kyle Busch Motorsports. Gregson has earned two poles in the last three races, and he's tied with his fellow Rookie of the Year contender Briscoe for the second most poles this season. They both have two. But they both trail Christopher Bell, who's got three poles this season. I'm really anxious to see what Noah Gregson does with this next race coming up at Kentucky Speedway. He scored top nine or better in six of his last seven races this season, and he's climbed all the way to third in the Rookie of the Year standings and is right on the fringe. He's right on that bubble of maybe getting into the playoffs this season. Right now he's ninth in the series point standings. He needs to be eighth to be in that playoff for the Camping World Truck Series. So going to be really fun to see what Noah Gregson can do at Kentucky here in another week or so.
And if you didn't watch that race from Iowa, you know, you missed a heck of a race. Another one that we saw in there in his third start was Harrison Burton making his third start, as I said, for the number 51 Toyota for Kyle Busch Motorsports, getting his career best finish of 11th. And so far in his three starts, he's finished 13th at Martinsville, 13th at Dover, and 11th in Iowa. That's not a bad start to a Camping World Truck Series career.
Not at all. He's been pretty impressive, not just in the K&N East, but he's been pretty impressive with what he's done so far in the Camping World Truck Series as well. Also very proud of Grant Infinger, who took over the series points lead for the Rookie of the Year contest that's going on. Heading into Iowa, Infinger was actually tied with Chase Briscoe from Brad Keselowski Racing. They were both at 104 points. After Infinger finished fourth at Iowa, which, by the way, was his fourth consecutive top five finish, he's taken over the points lead for the Rookie of the Year, nudging Briscoe to 117, while he holds the lead at 122. Again, this is going to be interesting to watch. That's a five-point difference between Briscoe and Infinger, and 24 points behind them is Noah Gregson.
And with talking about the rookies, again, the Truck Series is one of those that has so many. Brad Keselowski Racing actually has doubled up with the graduation of Daniel Hemric and Tyler Reddick both moving on to the Xfinity Series season. That left two openings there at Brad Keselowski Racing. Daniel Hemric went to Childress Racing full-time in the number 21 Chevrolet, and Reddick is running part-time with Chip Ganassi in that number 42. But with Chase Briscoe and Austin Cindric, Chase Briscoe in the number 29 and Austin Cindric in the number 18, both have been top Rookie of the Year contenders all season. As you mentioned, Briscoe currently third in the point standings, yet to finish outside the top 25 all season. He's taken two top five finishes in his last three races, leading 105 laps. And he's also won the Keystone Light Pole and remained second, as you mentioned, behind Grant Enfinger for a Rookie of the Year. And then on the other side, we talk about Austin Cindric. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Austin Cindric has started four races in 2016 and only two races in 2015. So he's had limited experience. But through the nine races this season, he's finished top 25 or better in every race but one, with one top five and three top tens, with seven laps led on the year. And he's currently fifth in the Sunoco Rookie of the Year standings and 11th overall in the point standings. So he's still on that, as you mentioned, the bubble where you got to be in the top eight. So he's not that far off of that either.
Absolutely not. Now, I just want to remind fans, we're going to close out the Camping World Truck Series here right now because they're not racing this weekend. But they were racing, again, it's Thursday night, July the 6th. So it's a day earlier than we're used to watching the Camping World Truck Series. They'll probably start racing at about 7:30. But keep in mind that even though we're switching over to NBC for the Xfinity and the Cup Series, the Camping World Truck Series is still going to be found on Fox Sports 1, and they'll have coverage starting at 7 p.m. For that race. So just a programming note there and a reminder to everybody that the Camping World Truck Series stays on Fox Sports 1, even though we're transitioning to NBC for the Xfinity and the Cup Series. Speaking of Xfinity Series, they're racing the Coca-Cola Firecracker 250 at Daytona this weekend. Again, at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, their race starts on Friday, June the 30th, another night race. But again, it will be NBCSN with the television coverage starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Time with radio coverage on MRN and Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. The distance, 250 miles over 100 laps. The segments are in 30 laps for stage 1 and 2. So first stage ends on lap 30, second stage on lap 60, and the final stage will end on the last lap, which is lap 100. So that final stage will be 40 laps. So just something to mark your calendar for that race. That will be on Friday night for the Xfinity Series. So let's go on and talk about this Xfinity Series. Stage racing is taking a big part of the stage for this Xfinity Series, I think.
Yeah, and when you're going to talk about that, you got to start at the top, and that's where Junior Motorsports has been dominant. It's brought out great action throughout with varying strategies and provided the new element in the NASCAR Xfinity Series that's allowed competitors to accumulate the points by finishing in the top 10 during each stage. Junior Motorsports drivers Elliott Sadler, who is the point standings leader, Justin Allgaier is second in points, and William Byron in third, have pretty much been there all season, and they've taken advantage of that in this new system. Elliott Sadler has yet to win a race this season, but with his consistency, posting the series most top fives, which has been six, and the most top tens, which has been 12 through 14 races. So he sits 25 points ahead of his teammate Justin Allgaier in the standings, and is second to him in stage points. But Sadler has amassed 113 stage points, which is 22.5% of the total driver standings of 502. And he also leads all championship challengers in stage wins with three, which will translate into three playoff points once they move into the playoffs. Tua Sadler's three stages came in the season opening Daytona, and he picked up a third one at Michigan.
Yeah, I tell you what, these stage points are really making a difference in a few of these series, and I think it's brought a whole new dynamic into the racing and the strategy that we're seeing play out on the racetrack. A lot of people call him the stage points master. Justin Allgaier is second in the driver standings. He's 25 points away from the leader, who is, as you said, Elliott Sadler. But he's first in the number of stage points that he's accumulated this season with 116, which is 24.3% of his total driver standing points total, which is 477. Allgaier is having a breakout season, one of the best of his career, and he's posted a win at Phoenix. He's got four top fives, seven top tens through 14 races, and he also leads the series, as I mentioned, in playoff points with seven. Five are from his win at Phoenix and two from stage wins at both Richmond and Talladega. So Allgaier is pretty impressive right now. I think we're going to see even more from him when we get to the playoffs.
Well, then the team as a whole, we mentioned three of them, and that third one's a rookie, and he's 32 points back from second place, but is the most recent winner of the Junior Motorsports bunch, as Sunoco Rookie of the Year contender William Byron has no slouch in gathering those stage points either. He's 19 years old, and from Carolina. He's accrued the third most stage point this season with 82, which is 18.4% of his total points for the year of 445. Coming off his victory at last weekend at Iowa, he's now locked into the playoffs and having a strong showing as his rookie campaign. In 14 starts this year, he has a win, four top fives, and eight top tens, currently second most in the series. And all three of Junior Motorsports drivers have set themselves apart from the rest of the competition. In the driver standings, behind third place William Byron at 89, William Byron, Daniel Hemric is next in fourth, 89 points behind them. So that's almost two full races, depending on what stage points they score. No, Daniel Hemric.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Hemric, sitting fourth in points, also is the fourth most stage points this season with 53, 29 points less than Byron. At Daytona in the season opener in February, Sadler dominated the event, as mentioned, leading the most laps and picking up two of the stages. But it's Byron with the best finish of ninth, as Sadler 24th and Allgaier 30th for Daytona, as we look at how they're going to do this weekend as they return to Daytona.
Absolutely. And you might remember that one of the drivers in the Xfinity Series who's had a win under his belt at Daytona is Ryan Reed. He won that season opener for the Xfinity Series, and he's looking to bring out his broom this weekend. He wants to sweep Daytona this weekend by winning at the World Center of Racing. He is looking to also join Dale Earnhardt Jr., who was just the second driver in series history to sweep both Daytona races in one season. So look out for Ryan Reed this weekend. I think he's going to be a man on a mission to get those back-to-back victories at Daytona. Reed just led nine laps back in February. He won, again, the season opener, grabbing his second Daytona win, because he also won at Daytona in 2015, joining Dale Earnhardt, who has 7 wins. Tony Stewart with 7. Dale Earnhardt Jr. with 6. Darrell Waltrip has 3 wins. Randy LaJoie has 3, along with Jeff Bodine, Joe Nemechek, and Matt Kenseth, who each have 2 races at Daytona. So he's looking to better that 2 wins at Daytona with his 3rd victory this weekend. Ryan Reed is. He's currently 5th in the series driver points. He's 155 points behind Elliott Sadler. But in 14 races this season, he has the 1 win at Daytona, 2 top 5s, and 4 top 10s. But in 7 starts at Daytona, Reed has posted the 2nd best driver rating at 93.7. He has an average running position of 11.6 among all of the championship contenders. And plus the 2 wins, he has 3 top 5s, 4 top 10s, and an average finish of 8.4. That is the series best among all of the current contenders. So, title contenders. So, I think Ryan Reed is going to be one of those drivers to keep your eye out this weekend. He's going to be a man on a mission, as I said earlier.
Now he can certainly put his name up there with some top, top names, that's for sure.
You're
talking earlier about, you know, in a couple of the series, the playoff bubble. Right now, there's a couple that are kind of feeling that squeeze of they need to move up a little bit, and that's Ryan Sieg and Brendan Gaughan. We're just 12 races away from the cutoff line for the Xfinity Series, and they carry 12. Or I'm sorry, they take the top 12 drivers. So as the summer continues on, they're going to begin to feel the heat. They both made the playoffs last season, but are currently outside that playoff threshold this year, as Ryan Sieg is in 24th in points. Or I'm sorry, 24 points behind 12th in 13th, and Brendan Gaughan is 26 points back, sitting in 14th. Ryan Sieg's racing, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Sieg and Gaughan both had impressive runs, though, the last race out at Iowa Speedway.
They most definitely did. That, you know, people say that it's because the Cup drivers aren't there. You know, whatever accident happened, the cautions fell, you know, whether it's luck or what. But that's one of those, if you got to still be running good. I get frustrated when I hear, again, you're a good driver if you're out there competing at that level. So don't ever take anything away from them.
Absolutely not. Those guys work really, really hard for everything they get. And I was really proud of both of those guys and their results at Iowa Speedway.
Yeah, as you mentioned, RSS Racing's drive, Ryan Sieg, with a career best finish that he posted, a runner-up finish at Iowa Speedway last weekend. And 3 races ago, he was 15th in points, but has now posted a 15th place finish at Michigan and the runner-up at Iowa, and is now right on the outside of that playoff contention, just the 24 points behind Blake Koch. And Sieg returning to Daytona this weekend, riding the wave of momentum, and should continue as he matched his previous best career finish of 3rd in this event last season. In the 7 starts at Daytona, Sieg has posted 2 top 5s and 3 top 10s.
And looking at Richard Childress Racing's Brendan Gaughan, he is just 2 points behind Sieg in 13th place and 26 points out of the 12th place cutoff where Blake Koch sits. But don't count him out, because that number 62 team of Brendan Gaughan won his first stage of the season last weekend at Iowa Speedway. And in the process, he brought his stage points total to 38. That's 15.2% of his driver's standing points total, which is 249. In Gaughan's last 3 starts, though, at Daytona, he's posted 2 top 5s and 3 top 10s, including a 5th place finish in the season opener this year. over the next several weeks, the series is going to tracks that Gaughan considers to be some of his best tracks. And we're talking Kentucky and Road America, where he's posted wins at both of those tracks. So I'm not counting Brendan Gaughan out yet. I think he's still a potential playoff contender for this season's playoffs in the Xfinity Series.
Well, especially coming up to Road America. I've been up there and watched him race up there. I think he took second the year I was there to Alex Tagliani. He certainly can get around that track, so that's one where you might have to look at him as a race winner.
Possibly, yeah, definitely.
Now, opposite of Brendan Gaughan.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, with
Gaughan
being one of the more veteran drivers, right now we got the youth movement. The average age of drivers in the top 10 in points, that it's been dropping over the last decade. The next generation of NASCAR Xfinity drivers is here, and that's shown by the stats. Following the race at Iowa, the 13th race of the 2017 season, the average age of the series drivers in the top 10 for the championships is a youthful 26.7. If you look back at the 2008 season, during that same time frame, which is just a decade ago, following the 13th race of the season, the average age was 31.7, an average difference of 5.5 years. If we want to compare the younger drivers inside the top 10 in points this season, three drivers this season are 20 or younger, with William Byron at 19, Cole Custer at 19, and Matt Tift at 20. Whereas in 2008, not one driver inside the top 10 in points was under the age of 23. And at that time, Kyle Busch was the youngest at that age of 23.
Yeah, we're really seeing these drivers come in at a very young age. And what's really impressive about it is they're coming in and they're doing very, very well. So that's been fun to see as well. As far as this Rookie of the Year contention is, let me take a look here. William Byron is holding the rookie top spot at 184 points. Daniel Hemric is second. He's at 153, but right behind him by just 3 points is Cole Custer. So I think those two are going to battle it out for who's going to finish second in those series point standings for Rookie of the Year right now. You've got behind them is Matt Tift at 129, Spencer Gallagher at 105, and then Ben Kennedy at 49 points. And keep in mind, he's not raced the whole season. So that's a little bit of a misnomer when we're looking at points further down the list here. Now, there's a few double-duty drivers this weekend as well, right?
Yeah, we got five Monster Energy NASCAR Cup drivers that are going to be doing the double duty this weekend. Ty Dillon, Corey LaJoy, Daniel Suarez, Eric Jones, and Joey Logano are all entered into this weekend in the NASCAR Xfinity Series and will be pulling double duty, as they will also be running the Monster Energy Cup race on Saturday.
Okay, so there's a lot to look forward to. Again, this race is this Friday, actually. The Xfinity is racing Friday, June the 30th, at Daytona International Speedway. The race is the Coca-Cola Firecracker 250, and that should take place at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, again with coverage on NBCSN. We make the transition at Daytona, and MRN, SiriusXM, NASCAR Radio will have that race as well. So be sure to tune in to that on Friday night. That means, of course, that the Monster Energy Cup Series is racing on Saturday night. We love those Saturday night races. And Again, it'll be on NBC at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. There's also going to be NASCAR America Saturday that will be on NBC starting at 5 p.m. So you can tune in as early as 5 p.m. Eastern Time on NBCSN for pre-race coverage of Daytona. MRN and SiriusXM will have the radio coverage, and then they're racing 400 miles, 160 laps. The first two stages are 40 laps each, with the final stage ending on lap 160. So they're going to race the 80 laps in the first two stages, and then the last 80 laps is going to be that final stage. This is for the Coke Zero 400, powered by Coca-Cola at Daytona International Speedway this Saturday night. Love those Saturday night races, Jay.
Yeah, especially at Daytona. That one has such a tremendous feel to it, with it being the holiday weekend.
Absolutely. It kind of marks – go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Finish your thought, Jay.
I was just going to move into the talking about the different winners, but you were still talking about this marking the halfway.
Yeah, this marks the halfway of the year, I think, at Daytona International Speedway, but it also marks the counting down to the playoffs. So they're on the last half. Each race brings us closer playoffs, and that means that the intensity is going to start ramping up starting at Daytona, I think.
Oh yeah, as if it hasn't already. I mean, it doesn't take very long into the season when guys start watching points and where they're at in certain positions. That kind of leads into what
Absolutely.
I was going to talk about with the parity this year. I don't know if it's the stage racing. We've had a couple of drivers have some breakout seasons, get some wins, first-time winners, but it's been a parity party. There's been 11 different winners in the first 16 races in the Monster Energy Cup Series season so far. With the current and upcoming
stars. But there's some that haven't won yet, and that's where this the ones that haven't won yet, I think, is where that sense of urgency is going to come into play, because you've got drivers like Kyle Busch, Matt Kenseth, Denny Hamlin, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jamie McMurray, Casey Kane, Clint Bowyer, Chris Buescher, Trevor Bayne, Casey Kane, Paul Menard, A.J. Allmendinger, Eric Almirola, David Reagan. None of those drivers have won yet. There's some new up-and-coming guys that are not far from a win, but they haven't posted a win yet either, like Chase Elliott, Eric Jones, and Daniel Suarez. All of those guys want to be in the playoffs, so that sense of urgency starts to really ramp up here at Daytona.
And as we're approaching that, again, 16 drivers being the cutoff, you know, the philosophy has always been win and you're in. If we happen to get more than 16 different winners, that one win might not even lock you in. And that would be a first. In the modern era, the record for most different winners through the first 26 races is 16. So it'd be interesting to see if we actually break that record this year.
Well, with 11 different drivers already in that cutoff, that means there's only 5 spots left. There's more than 5 races left before the end of the season, so that definitely is going to be something for everybody to kind of keep their eye on as we continue to wind down this season. Now, past winners, according to these remaining tracks that are on the schedule, it says past winners in the remaining schedule without capturing a checkered flag in 2017 are listed below. So you've got Kenseth, Hamlin, and Earnhardt Jr., including McMurray, Kyle Busch, Bayne, Almirola, and Reagan. That's a lot of drivers who haven't won yet this season, heading into Daytona.
That's right.
And
those all being the
they've
previous.
They've won at that track before. But go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is those are ones that have won at Daytona, but are yet winless this year. So.
So definitely, those are the drivers to keep your eye on this weekend and see how they're dealing with the pressure of trying to get that win at Daytona.
And then the next race would be Kentucky.
Okay.
Were you going to go through all the tracks or just Daytona, being that we're looking at Daytona?
Yeah, I was just going to do Daytona since we're just previewing Daytona.
Okay.
But there is one driver, MJ, that I think everybody is kind of keeping their fingers crossed and hoping maybe he'll win this weekend at Daytona.
Gee, I can't imagine who that would be. A fan favorite.
One of the most popular drivers in NASCAR.
That's right. Some people are calling it Dale-tona.
Okay.
I mean, obviously he's a favorite anytime he goes to Daytona. Dale Earnhardt Jr. has a total of 6 and 4 at Talladega and Daytona, respectively. 6 at Talladega, 4 wins at Daytona, and is currently considered a current restricted player, wins leader. It's initially believed that Earnhardt's final race in the birthplace of speed, but Earnhardt made a comment earlier this week that he wouldn't rule out running another Daytona 500 during his media availability out at Sonoma last week. And he's quoted as saying, "I'm just retiring from full-time racing." He's going to run some Xfinity races next year, and I don't know that I'll ever run the Daytona 500. Wouldn't rule out running the Daytona 500 again if the right deal were to come along.
In addition to his 4 Daytona wins, Earnhardt claims 13 top fives and 19 top tens in 35 starts at the 2.5-mile track. His 14.3 average finish and 94.2 driver rating are second best among active drivers at Daytona. Right now, though, Dale Jr.'s got a little bit of a hill to climb. He's 22nd in the series point standings. He sits 134 points behind Clint Bowyer for that last playoff spot. And he really needs to get this win this weekend to be in the playoffs for the Monster Energy Cup Series. This is one of the tracks that I think Dale Jr. has his best chance of getting a victory to get into these playoffs. And we definitely want to keep an eye on him this weekend. And I tell you what, if he wins this weekend, it's going to be a very, very popular win. Between him and his dad for this summer Daytona race, they have a lot of wins between them. I think I saw a stat earlier today, 17 wins for Dale Jr. during this summer Daytona race. And I don't know if it was 17 total wins and 34 total wins for his dad. So with this being Dale Jr.'s last race at Daytona in his the year that he's announced that he's going to be retiring, I think that would be a very, very big win for him as he's considering leaving. And you brought up that he's not ruling out racing at Daytona somewhere down the road, but this is his swan song. And I think he wants to get this win as his best chance of getting into the playoffs.
Most certainly. I mean, you're coming down to it. Michigan is another one coming up, but I can only imagine, the money they spent into rebuilding Daytona might have been wasted. If Junior wins, they might tear that place down.
Well, there's going to be a lot of happy people if he gets into victory lane this weekend. But
he might
there's
have to
another
go through.
Driver. Exactly.
I was going to say, yeah, he's going to have to go through Keselowski, who's going for the Daytona Summer repeat, as he tries to defend the 2016 win on Saturday. Keselowski is also another very skilled restrictor plate racer, having 4 wins at Talladega to go along with his 1 at Daytona. And he'll try to join the back-to-back club of Coke Zero 400 powered by Coca-Cola winners that include some great names like Fireball Roberts in 1962 and 63, A.J. Foyt in 1964 and 65, Cale Yarbrough in 1967 and 68, David Pearson, who did it 3 in 1972, I'm sorry, 4, 1972, 73, 74, and 75, and Tony Stewart in 2005 and 2006.
Yep, and 16 starts at the 2.5-mile track. The number 2 driver also owns 3 top 5s and 4 top 10s. Right now, Keselowski is 5th in the series point standings. He's 140 points behind Kyle Larson, the points leader. What brought him there are 2 race wins, 2 stage wins, 9 top 5s, and 11 top 10s. So far this season. So I look for Keselowski to be contending for that win as well at Daytona this weekend. But there's another driver that is hungry for that win at Daytona.
Well, and this would be a sweep of a different kind. Kurt Busch can go for the yearly sweep, which would
mm-hmm.
be the first since 2013. Kurt Busch is the Daytona 500 champion, winning the preseason first race of the season at the Daytona 500, and would be the first track sweep for the year since Jimmy Johnson won twice at the 2.5-mile track in 2013. In February, Busch led only the final lap to take the checkered flag in NASCAR's crown jewel event. And although he only has the 1 Daytona win, Kurt Busch ranks 3rd among active drivers there with a driver rating of 90.6 and an average finish of 15.2. And there's only 4 other drivers in addition to Johnson that have swept the Daytona races. Bobby Allison did it in 1982. Leroy Yarbrough did it in 1969. Cale Yarbrough in 1968. And Fireball Roberts in 1962.
Yeah, absolutely, and it definitely, those are drivers that are all looking to get a victory this weekend, but there are some young guns to keep your eyes on this weekend as well. The drivers we just mentioned are all the veterans, but Ryan Blaney, I think, is definitely a driver that's going to be one to watch this weekend. He had a runner-up showing while Joey Logano placed in the top 10 with a 6th-place finish. There's also Matt DiBenedetto. He came in 9th, and Trevor Bayne and we're talking about their effort in this show in the Daytona 500 earlier this year. Now, Kyle Larson placed 12th at Daytona 500, but he led the final lap before running out of fuel. So he came close to winning that Daytona 500 had he not run out of fuel. He would have been a contender. Chase Elliott finished 14th, but he did lead 39 laps until he ran out of fuel as well. So those guys have learned from their Daytona 500 experience. Now, there's a lot of difference between racing the Daytona 500, which is early in the season in February, and in the heat of the season in more ways than one during the summer race. So it's going to be interesting to see how they take their experience from the Daytona 500 and translate that into their race and their strategy going into this summertime race at Daytona this weekend?
Well, and I can tell you one guy that's extremely revved up for Daytona, and that's Kevin Harvick after picking up his first win of the season last weekend out in California at Sonoma, having led 24 laps on his way to victory there. And that puts it, giving him at least one win in each of the last 8 seasons. And he's been a mainstay at the top of the standings the last few seasons. You know, he's there again. He's third in points, 111 markers behind Kyle Larson. And for the year, he also claims 3 stage wins, 8 playoff points, 6 top fives, and 10 top tens. And in 32 starts, Harvick has claimed 2 wins, 9 top fives, 14 top tens, and a 16.3 average finish.
Yeah, it's impressive. A lot of people were worried about whether or not Kevin Harvick was going to be able to win in a Ford. He put those doubts to rest last weekend at Sonoma, and he's got a lot of momentum he's taking into Daytona this weekend. So we've seen some drivers go back-to-back, so I wouldn't count him out for by any means this weekend. We mentioned earlier that NASCAR coverage is coming to NBC starting at Daytona. And this weekend, we're going to see some new faces in the booth. There's Rick Allen, who's going to be the lead race announcer. He's joined in the booth by Jeff Burton and crew chief Steve Letarte, former driver Jeff Burton and former crew chief Steve Letarte. The pre-race show, we're going to see Chris Devoda as the host, and Dale Jarrett and Kyle Petty will be in the booth with him, or I mean with her. And then the pit reporters are going to be Marty Snyder, Kelly Stavast, Dave Burns, and Parker Kligerman is going to provide some pre- and post-race coverage from pit road and from the garage. New features reporter and four-time Olympic medalist Alto Bolden is joining the team. And, of course, everybody loves Richard Wood, who is also going to be doing some report features. So Nate Ryan, the writer for NBCSports.com, is going to be handling breaking news. And Saturday's pre-race coverage is including a special essay on Dale Earnhardt Jr. and his final race at Daytona. It's going to be voiced by a legendary broadcaster and a member of the 2018 NASCAR Hall of Fame inductee, Ken Squire. So we saw some of that earlier today on NASCAR America. If you didn't see it, you definitely want to tune in to the pre-race coverage that they're going to be providing before the Daytona race, the Coke Zero 400. This is a big deal with Dale Earnhardt Jr. racing this event this weekend. So definitely keep your eyes on that.
Yeah, as we talked about it, it's one of a lot of people consider it his best chance to win and get into the playoffs. So it'll definitely be interesting to watch.
Absolutely. And just to look back at the history that he and his family have at Daytona over the years. And with this being his last race.
Well, we keep saying that, but he's left that door open. I think there's a high probability you see him run another race or two, specifically the Daytona 500.
But here's the difference. Here's the difference. Yes, he's left the door open that he'll be back here, but this is the last time he's racing for points to get into the playoffs. He won't be doing that again.
Yeah, and that takes some of the pressure off if you're just doing it just for the race itself versus trying to move yourself up in points and contend for that championship.
Absolutely. There's a lot of people that would love to see Dale Earnhardt Jr. Pull off a championship this year. And this is the first step in making that a possibility.
Something else that with NBC taking over, there's going to be a NASCAR Decades premieres on NASCAR or NBCSN. NASCAR Productions and NBC are teaming up to celebrate the sport's unique culture, moments, and characters in two original documentaries highlighting some of the iconic eras, premiering this Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern on NBCSN. NASCAR Decades, the 70s, incorporates interviews and rare NASCAR archival material to feature everything from the hairstyles to the paint schemes that distinguish that time period. Personalities including Ric Flair, Larry Webster, and Tim Duggar are going to be alongside current drivers and NBC talent such as Dale Earnhardt Jr., Clint Boyer, Steve Letarte, and Rutledge Wood, along with numerous others. And the second era-themed special, NASCAR Decades, the 80s, will premiere on July 7th at 11 p.m. Eastern Time following the NASCAR Xfinity Series race on NBCSN.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. I've got that on the DVR right now because when they say this Thursday night, they're talking about tonight. And then next Thursday will be the 80s. That's going to be fun to watch. It gives you a feel for kind of the history and the, you know, where NASCAR has been in previous decades. And I think it's going to be fun for fans to really watch this and see some of the differences between racing in the 70s and the 80s versus where we are with racing today. Big, big differences there.
I was going to say, yeah, there might be a few differences there, I mean, in between the two eras.
I think so. It's going to be fun to look back at it because all of us will have memories of, you know, where we were and what we were doing with racing during those decades as well. And even if you weren't watching racing in those decades, it's going to be interesting to look back at those decades and to see, you know, kind of the differences. I mean, it's going to be different than where we are today with racing, without a doubt. So I think we've managed to make our way through our previews here.
Yeah, I think we covered all of them. I know we got a couple that aren't racing this weekend, so we just kind of touched on the points and where they're at and what their next race is.
Absolutely. And I know we have an article coming out for you at Fan for Racing talking about Dodge maybe returning back to the sport and what some of the possibilities are there.
Yeah, again, Helen, I know it took me a little longer. I've had a bunch of other stuff going on, but I did get that in. See how, once you get it edited and ready to go, get that posted and all. Already looking at, I think I mentioned the next one to work on. I'm going to wait till after this weekend's race, Daytona being one that could be a real shakeup with the points, especially if Junior were to win, he's coming 21st out of points, putting himself in those top 16, that playoff bubble. We're going to focus on that and take a look at who might be in or out or what it's going to take to move back in.
Yeah, keep in mind, Dale Jr. right now is 22nd in the series point standings. Even with a win, if he's not in the top 20, he won't be in the playoffs. So getting the win is the first step, but he's got to make sure that he's moving himself up in those series point standings as well.
Well, and as we talked about, there's still a couple other drivers that over the next, there's 10 races left, including Daytona, that don't have that win. Matt Kenseth, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, all of Joe Gibbs, because Joe Gibbs doesn't have any wins yet. And then you got Chase Elliott.
Which is pretty amazing
couple of these
when
guys
you think about their season last year.
Yeah, I still can't even wrap my head around that when they talk about that of, you know, normally it's if they haven't won in 3 or 4 weeks, they talk about what's wrong. And we're talking about almost a full season, a full year now with Kyle Busch's last win coming at Indianapolis last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really amazing. It's a stunning difference between what they were doing last year and what they're doing this season. And it's certainly not for lack of effort. All of those guys have been racing really hard. It just hasn't gone their way this season.
Yeah, if you look at Kyle Busch, is fourth in points, stage wins, and has 4 playoff points in the bank. You know, and we've seen it. He's frustrated when he's running third, fourth, or fifth. You know, he's one as the top driver on that team that has been right there, and just things haven't gone their way, whatever it be. And unfortunately, they're going to go through another third crew chief now this weekend. I saw that after Sonoma.
Yes,
their
looking at the penalty report.
There you go. Their substitute to the primary also is now under a 1-race suspension.
Absolutely. We talked about it on the Monday night show that there was a possibility that the guy who's standing in for Adam Stevens, who is on a 4-race suspension, was up for a potential penalty, and that certainly did come to pass. NASCAR issued a 1-race suspension to Kyle Busch's interim crew chief Ron Beshore for Busch's car having 2 lug nuts not tight enough following last week's race at Sonoma Raceway. The suspension comes along with a $20,000 fine following the guidelines set in the NASCAR rulebook for having 2 of 20 lug nuts, 5 per wheel, improperly installed. So kind of interesting that they're going to have to dig deep. And I don't think they've announced who that crew chief is going to be on top of the pit box for this weekend, have they?
I would have to try and find it. I believe they did, but I don't have that currently available. Let's see if I can pull it up.
Okay, let me take a look at my... Okay, I'm going to take a look here, too, and see if I can find anything on it. Coming out of...
I was going to say, if we're having a race, I'd say you win, because we got bad weather here again, so my internet is being extremely slow.
Oh, okay. I'm looking for any notes coming out of Joe Gibbs Racing. I'm not seeing anything right offhand here.
No, I might have been mistaken. I guess I'm looking at Bob Pockris's article, and you're right. It doesn't have in there who is going to be replacing Ben Beshore. I didn't think I'd seen anything just yet.
Okay, I'm going back through a second time here. Since Wednesday, if there's been any announcement, definitely keep your eye out on any word on who the crew chief is going to be for Kyle Busch this weekend. Adam Stevens is going to be serving the 4th week of suspension. He was suspended for 4 races, and now his interim crew chief, Beshore, is now out for 1 race, which will be Daytona. He'll get Adam Stevens back for Kentucky, but this weekend they're going to have to dig down the list here to get a crew chief for Kyle Busch in the Monster Energy Cup Series race on Saturday night. I'm still not seeing any word on that.
I wasn't finding it. I thought it was in that one with Bob Pockris, but I didn't see it in there.
Right. So, again, fans, that's something for you to keep your eyes on this week. That's pretty big news, and I don't think we've seen that, and it's been a long time if we have seen it before. But this will be his third crew chief in a very short period of time here at Daytona. And we've seen it work on these drivers' behalf sometimes. Sometimes an interim crew chief can come in, and the driver who's been struggling all season long, all of a sudden he pops up with a win. So that's certainly not out of the question. But definitely something for fans to keep their eyes on this weekend at Daytona. Okay, I think we're about ready to wrap it up here. Thanks.
Okay. I'm going to go one other highlight from the week. Eric Almirola is apparently improving better than expected and has done some simulator testing and whatnot and expects to take part in an on-track test sometime in the next 2 weeks. And their target possibly being available to race in the, I believe it's July 16th, race at New Hampshire.
Okay. So, yeah, that's a possibility. So, I know it takes a while to heal from those kind of things. I'm hoping he doesn't come back too soon, but certainly something to keep your eyes on for Eric Almirola. Also, Chase Elliott, the other news that came out this week, Chase Elliott agrees to a contract extension with Hendrick Motorsports. So he's going to be racing with Hendrick Motorsports for a while here still. And then also there was a bomb threat at Daytona International Speedway. The authorities have investigated and have seen no evidence of that. But there certainly was a threat that was put out there for Daytona International Speedway for this weekend. So good to see that the authorities are on top of that, and it's found to be unsubstantiated. And just know that there will be a lot of eyes and ears besides those of the fans that will be looking over Daytona International Speedway this weekend.
All right. I think we got everything covered then.
All righty. We're going to go ahead and sign off here. It's a few minutes early. I was kind of thinking we might even be earlier than that, but definitely looking forward. Again, just the programming note, in case you missed it earlier, we are not having a show this Monday night. Both of us will be kind of on the road and not available to do the show on Monday night. That's for our review show with Sal Segala as the co-host. And then also, AJ and I will be back on Wednesday night for the preview show for Kentucky International Speedway as well as Thompson Speedway on Wednesday night, starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. On our Fan for Racing Radio Network. Now, keep in mind, too, the reason we are doing that is because the Camping World Truck Series is racing on Thursday night during the time that we would normally be doing our radio show. So be sure to mark your calendars that Fan for Racing Radio and our NASCAR weekend preview will be at next Wednesday night, July the 5th, as we preview the upcoming weekend of racing. So, Jay, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to this weekend and next weekend.
That's right. And, we've got a quick minute here. If you can't get to one of the NASCAR-level races that we talk about, I'm a big component of supporting your local tracks. Over the four-day, I got a four-day weekend. Within 3 hours, there are 9 different races that I'd like to go to over those 4 days.
always great racing at your local home tracks. And just mention a couple of those.
For me, we have two right here in Columbus, Mississippi, Magnolia Motor Speedway in Columbus. baddest bull ring in the South. Greenville is running a late model series on Friday night. They'll be headed to Jackson on Saturday night and back here to Magnolia on Sunday. Why Not Motorsports Park in Meridian is running their midseason championship on Saturday. And I believe on Monday I will be at the Hornet's Nest. If you don't know what that is, that's the Talladega Short Track.
Should be fun. Should be fun. Get out there to your local short tracks and support those guys. They certainly deserve it. They work really, really hard to bring racing and make racing available to fans everywhere. And we love the short track racing, the roots of where NASCAR came from. And definitely get out there and support your local short tracks and local home tracks. And Jay, I just want to tell you thank you so much for all that you do. I appreciate your flexibility and doing the show on Wednesday next week, and with us not doing the show on Monday, there's a possibility we may go 2 hours next Wednesday night when we do the show, because we'll probably do a little bit of a review as well as our preview of the upcoming weekend.
Not a problem. You know I like to talk about racing, so.
All right. Well, with that, let's go ahead and call it a wrap, and we'll look forward. Everybody be safe over the 4th of July holiday, enjoy the time with your family and friends. We appreciate each and every one of you, and we look forward to having you back with us again on Wednesday night this week. Take care and enjoy the weekend of racing, and have fun. Good night, Jay.
Oh, good night.